This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
Fame. Whenever I think about fame, I think about that song, you guys tell me if you do this too, Limelight by Rush. So the lyrics say, living in the limelight, the universal dream. Those who wish to be must put aside the alienation and get on with the fascination. And I thought that was very interesting. There is alienation and loneliness when you're thinking about fame. But regardless, being in the spotlight is so alluring to so many people. But what it takes to get there, you're talking sacrifice and drawbacks, especially when it's your very own child in the public eye. I mean, you want to do everything in your power as a parent to make sure they have everything they need, right? From protection to enforcing that you have their back through the good and the bad. And in doing so, you often forget yourself. So, I mean, think about it. You have to drive them back and forth to auditions, comfort them when they're rejected. If they do get the part, you have to co-sign every document that comes their way and protect their interests. And for minors, the whole regulation thing is crazy. You have to be within sight and sound of them at all times during filming. It comes to a point where the parent must subjugate or outright abandon his or her own life and dreams to be there for their, I don't know, Shirley Temple in the making. My guest today managed to reach for and grasp both. Bonnie Wallace is the proud mother of two extraordinarily talented daughters who have found major Hollywood success. Claire Hosterman is a top vocal coach in Los Angeles, very in demand. And Dove Cameron, who at age 16 was chosen among hundreds of hopefuls to star in the Disney Channel hit show Liv and Maddie, for which she won a Daytime Emmy Award. Oh, and by the way, today, Dove's hit single Boyfriend is a chart topper, and she just won the American Music Award for New Artist of the Year. But Mom Bonnie, she's one of the few who, as a single mom, raised her kids in the limelight without letting them get burned by it. All the while, she began publishing books on both parenting and Hollywood and the We Can Books collection for kids. Bonnie, welcome to Everyone Talks to Liz. I'm thrilled to have someone like you on here.
Oh, thank you so much, Liz. It's an absolute pleasure to join you.
I sit there and I think, oh, God, stage mothers, forget it. I grew up in Los Angeles. I saw so many of these people who live vicariously through their children. This is not your story, is it?
No. I think one of the tricks to raising a child in this crazy environment, Hollywood, if you will, is that the child has to be pulling the parent. The parent cannot be pushing the child. Mm. That's like a critical distinction. If it's like the child pulling and the parent's like, all right, I'm just going to do my best for you, but this is your thing, not mine. Right away, that sets you on a better path.
Oh my God, I'm laughing because when my daughter, Gabby, was really young, she had these long, beautiful fingers. And I said, oh my God, you have to be a hand model. She's like, what? Mom, that is not alluring to me. Thank you very much. But what I find so fascinating about you and your children is that you were raised on a teeny tiny island off Washington State, Bainbridge Island. I have heard about how idyllic it is. Tell me about your childhood and why you began by raising both your daughters on Bainbridge Island.
Well, Bainbridge is a truly idyllic place, and I was so lucky to get to grow up there. My family moved there in the mid-60s when I was very young. And I grew up riding horses. I grew up playing in the woods with my friends. It was safe. It was rural, but it had a really good school system. You know, it was just amazing. And then fast forward, when my older daughter, Claire, was five and ready to go to kindergarten, I thought, you know what? There is no better place that I know to raise kids. And so I moved from Seattle, where I was living at the time, back to the island, and both of my kids grew up there.
And then how do you make that bridge from Bainbridge Island, where I'm sure very few people slap on the makeup and there aren't, you know, people with big lights in their hands saying, cut, take two, audition. That was horrible. Once more with feeling. How do you go from that to L.A.?
Well, interestingly, one of the things that Bainbridge has as its strong suit is an incredible arts community, like really thriving and really top notch in terms of its quality. It's got a community theater called Bainbridge Performing Arts, which at the time had a 240-seat house. And the kids were kids, both of my kids, my daughters, were doing stuff nonstop there for years. And so they kind of cut their teeth on theater right there on Bainbridge. And fell in love with it and learned a lot of the basics right there until, you know, when Dove was 13, getting close to 14, she kind of like hit the ceiling of what was available to do there. And, and all of her mentors were pulling me aside and saying, you know, she's really got the gift. You should really consider taking her to LA. And yeah. That was the last thing I wanted to do. You know, I'd gone to trade shows in LA for decades, and I just thought that's just the last place I ever want to live. And Dove spent about a full year lobbying me before I finally said, you know what? I don't want to look back and wonder what might have happened if we'd only done it. So let's give it a shot.
And giving it a shot, not easy. You get to Los Angeles, you know nobody. Got to find an agent. And in the meantime, you had a vibrant career yourself. You were doing all kinds of things. You had to let that go for a time being?
Yeah, it was interesting. Part of what allowed me at the time to decide to do this crazy thing, you know, throw everything we owned into a truck and, you know, drive down the coast to LA, was I was at a natural sort of bifurcation point with my career. I'd been a jewelry designer for 25 years, going to India 2-3 times a year to work with artisans. And I'd kind of reached a natural stopping point with that. And I'd cashed out my half of the business with my ex at the time, the girl's dad. And I, you know, had cashed out my half of the house. And I just thought, all right, I'd also just finished getting a master's in sustainable business, which of course took 2 years because it was a master's degree. And I thought, I'll go to LA, I'll become a consultant, I'll help businesses become more sustainable. So I landed here thinking I was going to start a new career, but I discovered, and I should have known better, but I just didn't put it all together until we got down here. You can't be the parent of a young actor and do just about anything else. And that was a shock to me. I was just like, wait a minute, I can't even keep personal appointments like dentist appointments. It's like the minute you put anything on the schedule, Dove would get an audition and I'd have to drop everything, help her memorize her lines, drive her across town, like you said. And it would be like an all-day deal on no notice over and over and over and over again. And then when she did start to land roles, I had to be right there with her, as you said, within sight and sound. With Liv and Maddie, it was 4 years. But before that, it was, you know, projects in the snow in Utah and up in Canada. And nobody really tells you that. It's very difficult to do as a single parent.
Well, it's brutal as well. The competition's tough. And helping kids deal with rejection, there must have been very lonely nights and worrisome days where you were concerned about making sure that she didn't feel like she was a reject. It was just, oh, I'd love to say, we're going in a different direction. It's like classic agents in Hollywood. Casting agents, we're going in a different direction. Translation, you ain't got it, kid.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they really are sometimes going in a different direction. So it's like, it's a great euphemism, but it's also sometimes true. But you're right. And it's not easy, you know, especially when your kid gets their heart set on something that's like a really juicy, exciting role that maybe could change their lives. No kidding, if they got it. And she had some really close calls on some stuff that was really quite heartbreaking at the beginning. And even now, I mean, that doesn't really change. I think part of the trick is getting clear that as long as you did your best, if you did your best, it's out of your hands after that point. And it's not really personal.
Oh, yes.
So it's not
absolutely
like you're a loser and a reject. It's like, you know what? It's just not what they were looking for this time.
Bonnie, I can almost hear listeners right now, many of whom have kids who have made it this close to getting on a team or auditioning for school play, and then they don't get it, or or they just weren't chosen for something they really wanted, whether it was the, you know, the blue ribbon for the science fair or equestrian or whatever. You know, what was your best path after Dove would get rejected? Tell me the advice, because that would really help me. I mean, my daughter's in her 20s, but she came very close to getting an internship that she was dying for, and she didn't get it. And, you know, me, I talk for a living. Suddenly I was like, you're awesome. They don't know what they're talking about, you know. But what is the right thing to say that you felt worked for you?
Well, one thing that I've come to really appreciate over the dozen years now that we've been in this particular adventure is that very often, you know, something that looks like you really, really want it, that doesn't go your way, it turns out to be a blessing. Like, really turns out to be a blessing, like a bullet that you dodged. And the thing is, when you're really up close to it, you literally cannot have the vision and the perspective to see that.
Yes.
You can only see that after a little bit of time and distance, you know, happen and have a chance to happen. And then sometimes when you see the bigger picture, you can see like, oh my gosh, I am so grateful I didn't get that, because then this wouldn't have happened, or that would have happened and I would have hated it, you know. And you just can't see it in the moment. The other thing is, sometimes you'll never see that. You know, it still may be true. You may not always see that, but you kind of have to have faith that ultimately the right thing does happen.
Oh, the universe. The universe has a plan, definitely.
Yeah.
And it's the old silver lining to a very dark cloud, what appears to be a dark cloud at the time. But
I believe that. And I'm not a Pollyanna, but I really do.
Me too. So were you ever able to hold down a job in LA while you were shuttling Dove around and helping Claire reach her dreams?
No. How's that for a horrible, brutal, fast answer? I tried.
It's honest. I like it.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I worked for Getty Images for a little while. I worked for a small film production company for a little while. And after a while, it was just impossible, because I just couldn't keep appointments with anything. And I finally thought, you know what? I came down here for a reason. I came down here to help Dove get properly launched. I'm not going to compromise that by, you know, telling her, I'm sorry, I can't help you with this audition. I have to work. Mm. I'm just going to suck it up and let my savings drop down until I reach a red zone. I'll have to do something else, you know. But yeah, I mean, I just decided to, that's what life savings are for, you know.
Well, exactly. And my dad used to say, because he was a doctor, people would come to him and say, well, this is an expensive but life-saving operation. But, my dad would say, do you have a rainy day fund? Because I'm telling you right now, it's raining. You know, you hit the point where it is raining, you got to dig in there. This is Everyone Talks to Liz, and we're going to be right back. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Klayman. Just go to Indeed.com/Klayman right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Klayman. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. So things are working well in Los Angeles, and Dove gets the Disney show. That must have been a real game changer.
It was. And the funny, funny thing was, so when we moved down to LA when she was 14, we knew that she could do really strong, dramatic roles. And we knew that she could sing. She'd literally never done anything comedic, like not even on stage at the community theater. And I always thought she was funny, but she's like, well, you know, you're my mom. Of course, you think I'm funny. And then when she got this Disney role, I mean, nobody would have been more surprised than us. And of course, it's a life changer. One of the things about Disney is they train you. Like if you get through several years of Disney, especially in a lead role, you're ready for anything. And it was sort of like boot camp and college all at once for her.
Yeah. And you've got to be right there because she's still a minor, right?
I mean, oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And because she was playing double lead roles, I mean, it was a lot for her to carry at a young age. But part of what gave me the faith to actually come down to LA and even give it a shot was she's incredibly intelligent. She's incredibly mature. And she's got a really good head on her shoulders. She's got a really good attitude. Her work ethic is incredible. So I knew that if anybody could do it, she could do it.
And you said at the start, which I think is maybe one of the most important things I've heard, the kid has to be pulling you, not the other way around.
Critical. Critical. All those terrible, terrible train wrecks, all those terrible, heartbreaking stories you see where, you know, there's this horrific, heartbreaking split between the parents and the kids.
Yes.
And there's usually money involved. And it's because the parents are pushing.
So there's a book written about this by Melissa Francis, who was on Little House on the Prairie. She's a friend of mine. And she wrote a book called Diary of a Stage Mother's Daughter. She has no relationship with her mother today. She's been very public about it. Her mother was the one who kept pushing her and to the point where it became almost deranged. And, you know, she talked a lot about that. Sure, she was the little kid on Little House on the Prairie and it was great. And she got to work with, you know, Michael Landon and it was great and all the experience and everything, but she wanted to go to college and she was saving or thought her mother was saving that money and it was gone.
No,
but it was her money.
That's the thing. And it's part of why I ended up doing the thing that I've done for the last, I don't know, 8 years or so with my podcast, with my three books and my consulting with parents of young actors is there's so much misinformation out there. When a child actor makes money, that money is not family money. That money belongs to the child.
Right.
You know, 15% of it has to go to the Coogan account, which nobody can touch till the kid's 18. It's still the kid's money. Yes, there's taxes. Yes, there's money that goes to the agent, manager, whatever, but it's the child's money. It is not money that has any legal business going to the parents.
The Coogan account. What is that? Now I'm learning something.
So it's actually quite fascinating. So I don't know if you remember the name Jackie Coogan.
Yes. He was the little kid in the black and white films.
With Charlie Chaplin.
Correct. The kid.
He was one of the first huge child stars. In fact, he was one of the first child stars who made a fortune in merchandise with his face on it. And when little Jackie Coogan reaches 18 years of age, he reaches out to his parents and said, hey, all right, I'm ready for my money now. And they were all like, oh, what money? Which is basically they had squandered it truly on cars and furs and champagne. And, you know, because they'd lived a very, very lavish lifestyle. All on little Jackie's money. So he had worked from the age of, I think, something terrible, like three on.
Yes, he was adorable.
Practically nothing to show for it, which is, you know, there's just no words for how horrifying that is. So that's when the first Coogan law got passed. And it's basically, it's a California state law, but of course, California is where the heart of the industry is. And it says that any young performer, not just actor, you can be a voice actor or a singer or whatever, any young performer under the age of 18, every dollar they make, 15% of it goes into this blocked trust account that only the kid can access and only when they're 18.
Good.
And it's like a minimal way to make sure that they've at least got that much. I don't think it goes far enough, but it's something. But there's another little known part of the Coogan Law, which is, again, what I just referenced, that all the money belongs to the child, not just the 15%.
Interesting. Now, what I find great is you never lost your sense of self, so much so that you published a book in 2015 called The Hollywood Parents Guide, Your Roadmap to Pursuing Your Child's Dream, because you learned so much and now you're sharing it.
Yeah, I was in a unique position, you know, and Pam Fisher, Dove's amazing agent at A3, took me aside probably at the end of season one of Liv and Maddie. And she said, I know you're a writer. I know you can write. And I think you could really make a difference for a lot of families like yours. I think you should consider writing a book. And so I set out to write the book that I wish had been there when we started. And I'm very proud of it still.
Well, you probably were able to bang out some of the chapters while sitting on the set watching watching Dove.
That's exactly what I did.
I got your number. I definitely do. You've also released this series of books, which I believe your dad had started, the We Can series, that helps kids learn. What was the inspiration behind taking that on as the project?
I'm so excited about We Can books. Well, first of all, my dad is an extraordinary guy. And I mean, both of my parents, I was lucky to grow up with them reading to me at night at bedtime, which is such an important thing to do for kids. And then when I was ready to learn how to read, he taught me how to read using, you know, phonics, right? And it made sense to me. I learned how to read early and well. Fast forward, when Claire is ready to learn how to read, my dad made by hand a series of books for her called Claire Can. And his innovation was combining family photos with the phonics. And so basically on every page, like say page one of book one, there's three books to get you all the way through the series, is like cat, mat, hat, sat, bat, rat, bat, right? Mm-hmm. All the short A three-letter words. And here's a picture of little Claire with the family cat. And the word cat is right there by her cat. And the kids, they see the photos of themselves. There's an emotional connection. You get the k-a-t. And then once you've sort of turned that key, all the other words are easily made sense of, right? So he made these books for Claire. And then 7 years later, he made them for Dove, you know, using cut and paste technology. Fast forward again, 30 years later now, we have print-on-demand technology.
Yeah.
We have apps. We have thousands of photos in our phones. We can take a picture on the fly, upload it to our phone. And so what we've done is we have built basically a book-building app. You download the app. You build the book right there in your app. Just, you know, uploading a photo or taking it on the fly with the kid. You can build the book with the kid.
Wait, what's this app called right now? I need to know this app.
It's called We Can Books.
And people can take their own family pictures and create this phonics and the ability to teach their kids how to read, because our schools are failing us in so many ways, Bonnie.
I know. And here's the thing. I hate to say it, but we can't give all of this to the schools to do. Like, we have to be responsible for teaching our kids this stuff. And it's also a really precious thing to do, you know? I mean, some of my favorite memories of when the girls were little were sitting with them and teaching them how to read and watching their little faces as they kind of put it all together. Like, oh, you know, ox, box, you know, fox, you know, it's like when they start to get it, it's like that Helen Keller at the pump moment, you know, it's magical.
With the water.
And so,
yes.
What is more thrilling and exciting, and what makes a bigger difference to the course of their lives and, let's just say, their school experience, which again impacts the course of their lives, than getting them off to a really strong start reading well and loving to read? So that's why I've spent the last 2 years of my life building We Can Books, and we've just launched, and I just couldn't be more excited about it.
Well, this comes back to the crux of you. And that is that some of these stage moms and momagers, so to speak, can't let go and then turn back and look at themselves and say, what do I have to offer? And you are a shining example of that. All I'm thinking about with these books is how maybe adults could benefit from this. I mean, 70% of people in prison read at below the fourth grade level.
Yeah, you know what? This is something that is on my radar, and there's an absolutely heartbreaking corollary, right? So as critical as early, good, strong reading skills are to success in school and life, if you don't have that, where do you start? Everything is hard. School is hard. You resist it. You hate it because it's hard and it's not fun and you feel dumb. Pretty soon, you don't graduate from high school. There's a huge correlation of dropout rates with kids who don't read at grade level by the time they're in fourth grade. And then the prisons, as you say, are full of people disproportionately who are functionally illiterate. So once we get the basic, you know, once we get sort of out in the system, out into the world and out and on the radar of people with 3, 4, 5, 6 year olds, you know, people whose children are at that magical place where they're ready to learn how to read. And I feel good about that. I'm going to turn my attention to exactly that and seeing if I can find a way in to help adults with literacy problems, because I think this might make a difference for them as well.
You have one heck of a heart, Bonnie. I'm feeling like a complete loser next to you because I'm like, I go to work, I do my job, I come home, you know, and you are really looking at ways to change the course of the path of people's lives. And I think that is amazing. As we finish up, I'm really curious to know if you could say one thing that you wish you had known on your journey ahead of the time that you went to Los Angeles that you just want to share with other people, what would that be?
Gosh. Wow. One thing, if I wish I'd known, it's a much bigger journey and adventure than I thought it was. You know, I really thought, you know, I'll come down here for a few years, and then when Dove's 18, I'll go back up. No, she's 26 now. She's almost 27, and I'm still here, and we're close. And it's just young actors need their parents to be there with them, to support them past the minute they turn 18. So, and I got my life out of it, you know, I really did. I'm really grateful.
What a golden path you're following, and a great example for your daughters who are doing brilliant things. I wish you and your daughters the best of luck and keep pushing. And I'm so glad your sense of self is very much out there today. Thank you so much, Bonnie.
Thank you, Liz. I really appreciate the time.
Okay, everybody. Okay, look what Bonnie was able to accomplish and help her children do. We have no excuses. That is the message of my Everyone Talks to Liz podcast. I always want you guys to leave it thinking, wait a minute. If she could do it, what's my excuse for not reaching for my dreams? So I hope each one of these matters and that you hear the underlying and very golden, hey, platinum message. Platinum's actually more expensive than gold right now. I keep an eye on this as a business anchor. 3 p.m. Eastern on Fox Business, the Claim and Countdown. I hope I see you every day, Monday through Friday for that. And once again, I cannot express enough how much I appreciate you guys listening to the podcast every single time we drop one. So hang in there and we'll see you next time. Want to listen ad-free? You can do it with a Fox News Podcasts Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts. And then Amazon Prime members, you can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app.
Kudlow on Fox Business is now on the go for podcast fans. Get key interviews with the biggest business newsmakers of the day. The Kudlow podcast will be available on the go after the show every weekday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.